The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
How's it going, Chiefs Kingdom? And welcome to episode 72 of the Great British Chiefs Show with your boys from the Kingdom. Representing the Kingdom, myself, Brad Simcox, and Arrow Headlines editor, Tom Childs. This is it. Super Bowl 57 is here, and the Chiefs are in it to win it. Tom and I are here to try and speed up the clock a little bit more and get you a little bit closer to Sunday with our build-up as the Chiefs take on the Philadelphia Eagles. But first...
Listen, Derek. You've thrown touchdown passes in Vegas before. You've been on fire. Have you ever been that hot in Las Vegas?
Not that hot. That's probably why I'm going somewhere else.
Tyler Huntley out of his own end zone. One for one on the day to Tyreek Hill.
It's down, you know, every possession. You got to get to the 50, you know, this shorter field right to the yellow line. So let's give him a new set of downs here to be able to. Quarterbacks have 4 seconds to throw the football.
Oh. A lot of space. Nice. Rodgers there early. Tyler Huntley with 4 seconds to complete, and he does. Our first touchdown in Vegas for Mark Andrews out of Baltimore.
Before we get into all the Super Bowl talk, Tom, I just wanted to get your opinion on the Pro Bowl. Did you watch any of it? Hashtag analysis.
Honestly, what? What player was? Was it Josh Jacobs that turned around and said this was a show? The man was right. I cannot believe they charge people to go and watch that.
I can't believe people go and watch it.
Honestly, I'm trying to think of this. Like, there must be at least 50 different things that are better to do in Vegas that are legal and illegal to do than go and watch the Pro Bowl.
That's more fun.
Yeah, honestly.
Getting held up in the parking lot would be one.
Yeah, honestly, I think I'd rather go through the entire script of Hangover 1 that happened to me than go and watch the Pro Bowl. Yeah. And that includes like Mike Tyson punching me. Honestly, it's
terrible.
Awful. It's terrible. Awful. Like, the flag football side of it, okay, I kind of get the flag football stuff. That they need to do something because the actual game, the kitted game, was just so bad and was getting worse and worse. And you've got this problem now of players turning it down because it's just a bar show, basically.
It's a waste of time.
Yeah, honestly, it's just awful. Yeah. So you're getting players turning it down now. But I don't even enjoy the skill games and everything around it. I don't care how many targets Tyler Huntley can hit or miss. I don't care about Derek Carr playing dodgeball. I don't care about Amon-Ra St. Brown jumping off a trampoline to try and make some like Walmart version of the dunk contest with catches. It's just honestly, I watched about 5 minutes this weekend and
had enough.
I just, yeah. And that's normally I'm turning the Pro Bowl off by like 10, 15 minutes. I normally put it on, watch 10, 15 minutes of it, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know. Why didn't they just send all the players to an island where they can just do what they want? And let them have a nice time there. Like, just go
on. Cameras on them.
Let them have a private retreat or whatever. Not Love Island. Let them just go do what they want. They want a nice getaway of each other. Just let them go on holiday together. All expenses. We don't need to watch them on holiday. I'm so glad the Chiefs weren't there.
I think it's more entertaining, actually. I think it would be more entertaining if we had the cameras on and let them do what they want and just see what they do. I think it would be more entertaining than actually a flag football game or even the skilled positions game.
Yeah.
Just maybe. Something, you know, something out of the ordinary.
I didn't enjoy it. And the players clearly enjoy it, but...
Did they enjoy it? Or did they feel compelled they have to because they've been selected in the Pro Bowl?
I don't know. But... I'm not going to go crazy over it. I'm not losing sleep over the Pro Bowl. I just don't watch it. Like, that's all it is. I have an opinion of it. I don't think it's very good.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people pay to go watch it. But, you know, some people have more money than sense. So they can afford to go and watch something like that.
Well, even
and
the
I'm
TV
sure people. Some people had a lovely time.
Yeah.
But for me, I hope the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl every year just so I don't have to. That my last memory of each season doesn't have to be watching Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones play in that game and do all that rubbish stuff.
Like, that's a waste of the time.
Just please make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, even the kit wasn't as like imaginative this time. I mean, normally I always quite liked the previous year's Pro Bowl kits and stuff, and I always thought, what are they doing? He had like a black top on what was it, the NFC team? It was a black top. It had an arrow on it and it had a number. And I was like, is that it? Is that really it? Oh, yeah. And they probably had a little silvery kind of patch with the team that they were playing for on their arm. That was it. And I was like, there's just zero effort gone into this.
Well, a bit like the Super Bowl logos.
yeah, pretty much, yeah. I mean, God, that's another thing. Super Bowl logos. What the hell's going on with them?
Yeah.
They just tag another like number on at the end. Yeah. And it's just... Oh yeah, I'll just choose
minimalism, mate. Minimalism. That's all it is. People think just because people like plain clothes and that, you know, like that, like their clothes don't have to be out there too much, but it doesn't apply to everything. Not everything needs to be like all neat and tidy. Like, bring back like the out there logos from the '80s and the '90s. Bring them back. Right? Let's start having a little bit of fun with logos.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. This one's better. There's a bit of color in this one.
Yeah.
But so they've come away from the usual script from the last 10 years a little bit. But it's still got that kind of like boring outline. There's no like wacky shape. There's nothing on there that looks like, you know, like a Super Bowl logo normally looks like a 10-year-old's done it on paint.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. That's what I want to see next. Yeah. You know, yeah. Just done a dot to dot and just let the kids go crazy at making the logo. Let's do this.
Numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. The Super Bowl logo's just got meh at the minute. Actually, it's funny you should mention the Super Bowl because the Chiefs are in one this weekend.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah, funny you should mention that. Quite a coincidence, isn't it? Super Bowl open day had happened recently. And my God, honestly, have you heard some of the questions?
Before you start, we need to rename this podcast the Grumpy Old Man podcast because we have been moaning the whole way through this podcast.
Grumpy Old British Men shouting at clouds.
Yeah.
Mate, it's been a long old season and I think we just want to vent quite a bit of it out at the minute because it's been a tough season. You know, we had everything going on at the previous game as well against the Bengals. We had all that hype and all that drama and everything. We're just letting off a bit of steam in this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Super Bowl opened day. The questions. some of these daft questions that have been coming out. one of the questions was, what was it? Which Eagles player wouldn't you date your daughter? And that was the Eagles coach. And he's like, she's 5 years old.
Yes.
Imagine you've just been like, you've been taken away to go, you know, you're going to go and interview a player, you know, what is going to be the big thing that you're going to ask? It's your time to shine in front of this player, ask a really stunning question that he's going to think about forever, even when he's on the Super Bowl field thinking, you know what, that was a hell of a question. And you come up with that shit. What? Who's sending these people?
Hi, Andy Reid. Well, hi, Nick Scenario. Which one of your teammates would you let date your wife? If one of your players has to have an affair with your wife, which one would you not mind it being? But that wasn't the dumbest question.
Was it not?
No. Someone actually asked, again, Eagles head coach, is this a must-win game? It doesn't matter if we lose this one, in fact. Might as well just go home. Right. Just come on.
Is it a must-win game?
I reckon everyone should just go for a media pass next year for the Super Bowl.
I think you'll get it.
I think maybe journalism is maybe the standards are kind of slipping a little bit. And I'm not talking about Arrowhead Pride. Arrowhead Pride journalism, great. But
hi, Pete.
Some of the questions, it's just like, I don't get it. Yeah, imagine if we find out that it was Pete that asked those questions.
Oh, God, yeah. God, yeah, we won't be on air long, will we? Jeez.
But like, it's even another one that gets me as well, and this is such a basic question and it's so boring now. The people that ask players what their favorite barbecue joint is in Kansas City, like, yeah,
it's the norm now, isn't it?
It's so boring now, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like us, if we had players on, always every single person we ever talked to are, what do you think about the international series games in London? It's just so predictable, so boring. And I feel like that's the barbecue question is like kind of getting it. That's why I kind of like when Juju was talking about Philly cheesesteak, that was kind of like semi trash talking. It's the closest we've got to trash talking all week when he sort of talked about Philly cheesesteak being overrated. But then again, straight away, someone goes, oh, what about barbecue in Kansas City? Come on.
But the thing is, you know that that reporter's thinking, this is a great question.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever asked this.
Yeah. I'm about to get free marketing for Gates Barbecue. Maybe I'll get Gates for life for free if I ask this question.
The thing is, though, maybe
it's an ulterior motive. It's an ulterior motive. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Get someone to say on opening night, oh, this barbecue place is the best. Then you'll get free food for the rest of your life. Like, maybe, I don't know, maybe that's it. Although I have been to Gates and it is very good.
It is nice, yeah.
It is very, very good. But I've been thinking of questions that you might ask.
I might ask.
Yeah, but no, what you might ask a player if you're in those situations. So you've got some standard questions like, which celeb would you like to play you in a movie? I think that's a pretty good one. Like, I'd be very interested to find out who Travis Kelce would like to play him in a movie. I think that's quite a good question. Put them on the spot.
Yeah.
And ask them about Desert Island Discs.
Yeah. That's always a standard one. Yeah. But it's a one that doesn't have the same answer. So it's like, you know, it's quite a good one. You can learn a lot from a person in that Desert Island Discs.
You can. And there's a question here that I was going to ask, but I decided not to.
I know what it was as well. You told me before the show, and I'm thinking, is he going to go for this, really?
I'm looking at this question, and I'm like, I can't say that. Y'all can't say that. You want to be back next season, Tom. You cannot ask that question.
Not even a quack would sort that out, would it?
So I was like, no, absolutely not going to ask that question. If you DM me, I'll tell you what it is. And then there's another question here that's, I think, you can find out a lot about a person by them answering this question. And right. I already think I know what kind of song you'd say, but what's your favorite? What's your go-to karaoke song? You've had a few too many sherbets. You want to get up and have a good old sing song. What's your go-to song? That's what I think you'd find out a lot about a man or a woman. If you ask them that question, when they get this, what are they going to sing? What might you see them sing when they're hoisting the Lombardi? What might you see in celebrations afterwards?
Yeah.
What's your go-to song?
What would be mine?
Yeah. Go on, as you're here, let's ask.
Go on, I'll tell you, mine is, it's got to be Sweet Child of Mine. I belt that out. I really belt that out, mate. I really do. Honestly, it's like Axl Rose is literally right in front of you. When you just close your eyes, obviously I don't like him, but if you close your eyes, it's Axl Rose, without a doubt.
You are so basic. honestly, thought you were going to say an Oasis song, but you know.
No, that's my second choice.
Tom, you don't know me. You don't know me.
It's so basic. You're so, you, do you know what? You were just so northern. So basic. Sweet Child of Mine and Wonderwall.
Yeah. Oh, do you know it was Wonderwall?
My two, because you didn't ask me, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Go on, yeah. What are yours?
My two. First one would be Limp Bizkit, My Generation, which you've seen me sing a cappella anyway.
Mate, it just reminds me of a taxi ride that we had going to, where were we going? Milton Keynes?
Yeah.
And you started off singing Limp Bizkit and the whole taxi was bouncing. There was about eight of us in the back of this taxi all singing.
Yeah. Oh, God, Limp Bizkit, like, definitely my favourite band of all time. Like, you can tell that I'm like a late 80s, like, born in the late 80s, was turning a teenager in the, like, turn of the millennium, that type of time, because obviously those new metal bands were like my childhood.
Oh, you're one of those little quacks, are you?
Yeah, basically, yeah. My favourite pastime when I was younger was egging. And then my other one, it's also a similar sort of era, but completely different genre. Will Smith, Will 2K.
Will 2K. No, I would have gone with
And getting jiggy with it. Yeah.
Just cruising for me.
Really? Oh, you're so old. You're so old.
You mentioned Will Smith, and I mentioned a Will Smith song. Oh, and you said, I'm old. What?
Yeah. Yeah, no, Will 2K.
Just for the listeners, we haven't drank tonight.
Yeah.
We haven't been drinking. We're just, I don't know what it
we're
is.
Just we're just putting off the fact that we haven't done any research on the Eagles in the last week because we've been too busy. But you've got other podcasts on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network to deal with that.
Yeah.
I know that Nate Christensen and Price Carter and Maurice Elston, I bet they're putting an excellent Kingdom Keys together this week. They're going to talk about X's and O's, and you're going to learn a lot.
Yeah.
You're going to learn a lot from those guys.
You're coming here
You're
for
just not going to learn that from us. I'm sorry. So, yeah, we're just putting off. We're delaying. I think it's safe to say we're ready for the season to end.
I think we are. And yeah, in the nicest possible way. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. It's not me being ungrateful about where we're at. Like, I am stupidly grateful that the Chiefs are making the Super Bowl. Again, third one in four years. I cannot wait to go and watch it with my Arrowheads Abroad brothers and sisters. I cannot wait for that. We're going to have an excellent night. And if the Chiefs win, it'll make an even better night. I'm grateful for that. But this season has felt like it's lasted a lifetime. Normally the NFL seasons fly by.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, I don't know whether it's the extra week or whether it's the fact that the Chiefs have had so many heart attack games and there's all been all so much drama. And like, I don't know. The Chiefs are always in the news cycle. It just seemed like it's lasted forever this season. And I'm not wishing my life away, but I am looking forward to a break.
The thing is,
not just from you, Brad, from just Chiefs.
Yeah, but the thing is, this time next week, we'll be like, oh man, is that it?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I'll speak to you again in August.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's just been a really kind of, like you say, it does feel like a long season. I mean, like you said, yeah, we're happy that the Chiefs are there and we can't wait to actually watch the game.
And we love what we do.
We do love what we do. We do. Yeah. I mean, you can tell from the show, but I'm just having a laugh with it, really, aren't we?
Yeah.
So it has been good. But just going back to, steaming it back to the kind of like the Super Bowl opening day and everything like that. We saw Mama Kelce was on there, and she's big in the news at the minute, isn't she, Mama Kelce?
Love it.
She's been on the New Heights podcast, which I haven't actually listened to yet. I heard a snippet of it before, before we came on air. And she handles the media so, so well. I saw in another interview earlier as well that she was getting quite emotional because they're asking her, what's it feel like, you know, you're a parent, you're watching your boys in the Super Bowl. She says, I'm really going to kind of get welled up with it, I think, because, you know, she's seen them growing up from these little lads running around by her feet and that, and, you know, playing in the backyard, playing football together and fighting and all that kind of stuff. She's been through a lot and she's seen them compete right the way through their lives up until this point now. And she just comes across so, so well and so sweet. Yeah. But she really enjoys the game as well.
Yeah.
I mean, she lives and breathes the game. She wants a high-scoring Super Bowl. That's what she said. I want both offenses to just literally go off. Fair play to her. That's what she wants. They might get that.
it's funny because like you think about like family members of celebrities, and I'm not picking on anyone in particular here or a tribe, but sometimes you see when a family member falls into money and that money gets passed to others, you can see those people at like
It changes. So,
it
can change the people, can't it? Money.
Yeah, it can. It can. And again, I'm not pointing out any particular person on that. But with Kelce's parents, they just sit like, to me, and obviously I don't know what they were like when their kids were younger. I don't know what they were like 2 years ago or whatever. But it just seems to me like they are the same people. Like, and I get the impression of that with Jason and Travis Kelce. Full stop. Like, they are very likable guys, very down to earth guys, and even name their podcast after where they grew up. For Christ's sake, so they know their roots. Don't they? Do know their roots, and it's just nice to see like normal people in that environment and acting how like I would expect my mum to act in that type of environment.
Your mum would absolutely be the same.
Yeah. I love it. I love watching the Kelce, the mama Kelce, the papa Kelce side of things, because at the end of the day, all of these players do have families and they do have a support network around them. And it's just not the players that are happy about their achievements. There's all these people around them that have watched them on this journey and watched them grow and helped them and supported them in their journey. And it almost feels like just rewards for them as well when the players are reaching this and getting to their success. And the fact that they have that twice, both sons, they must be immensely proud. And as a dad, I can't begin to. I'm like, my son reads me a page from his book. He's 4 years old, and I'm happy about that. Like, I'm proud of him doing that. But to have two sons go for their passion, their real passion, and make a living out of it, and then to reach the very pinnacle of it. Not only separately, but then against each other as well. They must be living their best life. This week for the Kelces must be like the greatest week of their entire family existence.
Absolutely,
I can't imagine what it's like to be a Kelce right now. It must be incredible. I think it's kind of reflected in how respectful. I think it's kind of set the tone for how respectful this game has been, because we've just come from a build up. From a game which, what I would class as one of the most disrespectful build-ups to any game I've seen that involving the Chiefs in a long time. I cannot remember a build-up like that in any Chiefs game. Well, I can't think of one where the other team was just shouting so much. There was so much talk before a game. And then, like, you move on from that, you get past that obstacle. And now we're at a game where no one... literally no one is saying anything. I touched on it earlier. Juju Smith-Schuster talking about Philly cheesesteak. He's like, the worst thing that's been said this week. Like, oh God.
Even then they laughed at it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just been such a respectful, like, I don't know, like, environment for both teams this week. And it's been great to see that, like, even fans are noticing, even trash talk between fans has been minimal this week. But I think it starts... and I do think it all entirely starts, not just with respect from both teams for each other, but it kind of starts with the Kelce thing. With the Jason versus Travis in a very respectful way, and then Kelce, and then Mama Kelce, Papa Kelce, they've kind of set the tone for what type of build up to this game, what we were going to get. And it's been kind of nice. Like, media members must think it's really boring, but I think I found the build up to the Bengals game pretty exhausting, to be honest. And by the end of it, I was just done with it and just wanted the game. And it's kind of nice just to see two teams that know they're both very good, respect the hell out of each other, and they're just going to let all the talking be done on the field. It's nice to see.
And I just think both sets of fans, they've already got that one Super Bowl that they haven't won in years out the way. Obviously, with Eagles winning in Super Bowl 52, Chiefs winning in Super Bowl 54, there seems to be much more relaxed atmosphere and like you said, everybody seems to be enjoying it more because it is more of a celebration of football, a bit more celebration of family togetherness, you know, appreciating greatness as well, like we said with Andy Reid. Like you said, that's what we've seen all week, really. It's just been a lovely, warm feeling. This is what the NFL should be. This is what it should be like. Yeah, have the trash talking now and again, but previous week, like you said, I've never been so wound up for a game before the Bengals game. I know we keep talking about it now, and it's been like a week or two behind now, but it was at high stakes. It was probably higher stakes than what this one was now. But just sticking on Mama Kelsey briefly, she did answer one of the questions that we asked in our previous podcast.
Okay.
Sort of. She has answered it sort of. Because she was asked, literally by Travis and Jason, come on then, who are you supporting? Which one are you supporting for here? And she was very good. She says, if I've got to answer that, then you've got to answer, who would you save if me and your dad were in a sinking boat? Who would you save first? And Jason said, Jason, straight out of his mouth went, you, man.
I like it.
She did almost answer it in a way that I think it was on a different interview, actually, where she said that Jason did give her grandkids and Travis hasn't.
There we go.
So she's probably kind of leaning towards Jason, yeah. but she probably thinks the younger brother, Travis, is she's still wavering a little bit, but no, grandkids.
She is leaning. If that's, she's leaning towards Jason, trust me, as my mum's favourite son, who's delivered her three gorgeous boys for grandsons. Trust me, I'm definitely like number one son of the lot. Jason Kelce is absolutely Mama Kelsey's favorite son. And she wants him to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, probably.
I guarantee it.
Probably.
Because not only that, remember the kids are going to be happy as well. So she gets to see the kids happy. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I kind of want Jason to win now.
All right, then we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go through the Chiefs and Eagles injury reports, and we'll also be discussing the up-and-coming Super Bowl 57.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It was always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi there, welcome back to the Great British Chiefs Show with Brad and Tom in the Super Bowl build-up for Super Bowl 57, another Super Bowl. Three Super Bowls in 4 years. Mate, we are living in a dream world right now, but we've got to talk about the most important things going on in this game, or most importantly, Rihanna. Rihanna's the halftime show this year. We were fortunate enough to see your future wife, didn't we?
Yeah. Now she's broken up with Gerald Piqué. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She's on the market now, mate. So, Shakira was the halftime show that what we saw, and J-Lo, wasn't it? But this year it's Rihanna. Have you got a favourite Rihanna song?
Yeah, I do. I do have a favourite. It's Disturbia, which isn't going to get played according to the bookmakers.
What?
Yeah.
Why is that not going to get played?
Well, actually, no. It might be played. Actually, no. I'm looking at some odds here about first and last song. Okay, she's had some She's had so many bangers. Yeah. Honestly. Her catalogue of songs is incredible. Like, I'm looking at this list now and I kind of want them all to be in there. Like,
how long has she got, though? She only got like 15 minutes.
Yes, it's 12 minutes normally, isn't it?
To get all of those bangers in one kind of sitting.
Mm. Yeah, I like, who's going to be the guest? Like, guess she has out as well. Who's that going to be? I don't know.
Limp Bizkit. Can you imagine that?
Introducing!
Hey, could happen.
Fred, have you seen what Fred Durst looks like these days?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, like, he's different, isn't he? Like, he's embracing age. Fair play to him.
Yeah,
you can say that. I'm going to see them in April anyways. But anyways, that's the second time we've talked about Limp Bizkit on this one podcast. We've talked more about Limp Bizkit than Patrick Mahomes. In fact, we might have said the words Limp Bizkit more times than Patrick Mahomes this entire podcast. And we're like 30 minutes into it.
That will change.
Yeah, that will change. Yeah, no, I like Disturbia. That's probably my favourite song, but I think she's had so many good songs. Obviously, Umbrella, Ella is a good one. Don't Stop the Music. I just, you know, there's going to be so, like, you just know that it's going to be a party. Like, a lot of people use the halftime show to go and get a drink or go for a wee or whatever. Absolutely not. I am locked in on that halftime show, and I am hoping that the pub that we're going to watch the game at, like, turns it up at halftime, doesn't, like, use it as an excuse to turn it down so everyone can have a chin wag. No, let's have a party. I do enjoy the halftime show a lot. Katy Perry for me, by the way, the best halftime show.
Left Shark.
Yeah, Left Shark. Honestly, that for me, entire as a Super Bowl as a whole, that Super Bowl was my favorite Super Bowl of all time.
That was the
Malcolm Butler Patriots Seahawks Super Bowl. With Katy Perry, it's a halftime show. Cracking Super Bowl.
Mm. I think my favorite is Only Girl in the World.
Purely because
it's on Grand Theft Auto. Whenever you're in the car, if I'm ever driving around on Grand Theft Auto, right?
Yeah.
That song comes on, I carry on until the song ends. And then I get out of the car.
You're driving along in your best behavior, just so you don't get stopped by the cops.
Got me 5 stars on you.
Yeah. Amazing.
Okay, Tom, let's get serious now because, mate, that is a stacked roster. I can see why you selected them at the beginning of the season to be your Super Bowl pick because, man, that's a tough team. If Mahomes manages to beat this Eagles team, this will probably be one of the greatest Super Bowl runs ever.
Yeah, on one ankle, for sure. Like, I think the Chiefs have the three best players in the Super Bowl. I do.
Yeah.
I just think overall, the Eagles probably have more talent in more positions.
Yeah.
It's such a weird game to evaluate because in terms of top end, the Chiefs are better. They are better. They're the better coaches. They have the better top end talent. They're the better quarterback. They have the best defensive player on the field. They have the best pass catcher on the field as well. And this is not to say that the Chiefs roster isn't deep. No, it absolutely is because Brett Veach has done such an excellent job in building the bottom of the roster. Like, now the middle to the bottom of the roster is so much better than it was 12 months ago. The big problem with the Super Bowl teams of the last two for the Chiefs is that they've been too top heavy and they've been too reliant on superstars. And they do have superstars. It's not going, but they do have some, like, middle of the road talent. They have your Trey Smiths, Creed Humphrey, Joe Tooney. They have those type of guys. Justin Reed, one for another. They have those guys that are excellent players and good contributors. The problem is that the Eagles have, like, a load of 8 out of 10s. That's the best way to describe the Eagles. We have our 10 out of 10s, and we have our 6 out of 10s, and we have our 7 out of 10s. The Eagles have just got a bunch of 8, 9 out of 10s across the board. They're everywhere. Yeah. Every single position on the field, they have got 8, 9 out of 10s. And those type of teams, especially when well coached, are really, really hard to beat. So I thought the Bengals was going to be the toughest challenge of the season so far for the Chiefs. And it was, obviously, went down to the wire. Obviously, injuries didn't help that. But this Eagles team, and I know people have their doubts about them, but I look at this Eagles team, I look at this roster, and I just think, man, the Chiefs have got their work cut out this weekend. They really have.
Whenever I look at a roster, I always try and kind of look at it in a viewpoint of what is going to be the weakness here that we can really kind of exploit, what the Chiefs can exploit in this. And seriously, I struggled a bit with the Bengals because they were pretty much stacked as well. But again, I'm looking at this Eagles team and I'm thinking there's nothing on there that I can actually for sure say there is a particular weakness there that we must exploit, because the corners are decent. The D-line's number one. Yeah. Just like you said, the roster just seems so stacked. But again, when you look at a roster, you think, well, you know, is the offense better than their defense? And you know, is that going to be something that we can look at where we can probably try and exploit? But again, they seem very much parallel. They're another complete team that the Chiefs have to face. The Bengals were one of those complete teams. The Eagles are a complete team as well. You're right in what you're saying. Probably Chiefs will probably top it out with the fact that they've got better coaching, miles better coaching. But player talent and player kind of readiness and the, like you said, just the whole kind of roster. I must admit, it did scare me a little bit because I was thinking this is going to be an uphill battle for the Chiefs. And especially the fact that we're so banged up as well. I mean, I've looked at both the injury reports for both teams. And I mean, yes, the injury report for the Eagles is longer, but it's just little niggles here and there. But the Chiefs did seem as though they got banged up quite a bit in the previous game. And like I said, we're always kind of worried about Patrick Mahomes and that angle. But can you see a weakness in this? Are you just the same as me, just thinking, I can't pick anything out on this Eagles team?
I mean, I can't, but Brandon Ayuk did. The 49ers receiver, he come out and he said some bits this week that's given me some confidence. And he come out and said, if I were going to bet on this game, I would take everything that I own, get it in cash, and put my money on the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, first of all, Brandon, I don't think I could get much money for my possessions. I don't own a lot. So it's probably not worth selling my Xbox One just to put some money on the Chiefs. Secondly, do you reckon there's any truth in that? Because obviously the 49ers, their game plan went out the window immediately. As soon as Brock Purdy got injured, that was it. They were done. But they said they saw something. And Kyle Shanahan is renowned as one of the best offensive play callers, as is a certain Mr. Andy Reid. So maybe we do talk about it often about saving the good stuff. Maybe now that Mahomes, because remember, what we have to remember, how good was that first drive against Jacksonville? It was phenomenal. Yeah. It was really good. It looked like Mahomes is going to have one of those days where he was just going to come out and just go be like, oh, I'm him, that I'm that guy type of game. And then he got injured. So that kind of ruined that game plan for that game. And then obviously in the Bengals, it was kind of like a make do type of game plan. We just don't care how we get through it. We just need to get through it. It doesn't matter how. Just winning is all that matters. Just get through the game. But now, if Mahomes is healthy, he'd be fine.
He'll be fine.
Yeah. If Tony plays, like he's saying he's definitely going to play, if Juju can get on the field, obviously Travis Kelce, we haven't heard anything about the backs. You like to think that he's okay. A full offensive line. If they can game plan for the Eagles pass rush, which has been dominant this year, maybe we're going to see a continuation of what we were going to see against the Jacksonville Jaguars, which was, in my opinion, going to be complete and utter domination on the part of Patrick Mahomes. Maybe that's the type of game we're going to see this week. Maybe we're going to see Andy Reid's best, Andy Reid's finest cheeseburger of a play call. That's what we're going to see this weekend. And maybe Brandon Ayuk has just kind of like made it public knowledge. Actually, yeah, the Eagles can be had. We were going to have them, but then Brock Purdy decided to twist his elbow in half. Like, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be reading into it that much, but he has made me feel a lot better about the Chiefs playing the number one passing defense. The fact that if they think they were going to game plan for it with Brock Purdy and they were going to score points, what's Patrick Mahomes going to do, knowing what they were in line to do to open these playoffs against the Jaguars?
Should we really take it serious at the fact that this Eagles team has the number one defensive line, the number one defense, passing defense, and the fact that they are the number one O-line as well? Do we have to take that serious? Considering the season they've had,
Yeah.
Where the strength of schedule was, what, 20-something, I think it was, from memory. Is it really something that we can take? Can we take this Eagles team really serious? Because they breezed through the playoffs, but not because of the way that they played, because it was basically because either the opposition was absolutely killing itself, i.e. the Niners, or it was the fact that the Giants just kind of reached the peak and kind of ran out of steam. Can we really, really consider the Eagles as thinking, well, they've really proven themselves? Because at least the Chiefs have gone through probably one of the most difficult starts of the season.
Yeah.
Can we take the Eagles serious?
I mean, you've got to. We can't sit here and talk about the talent that they've got in all three levels of the defense and everywhere on offense. We can't talk about the levels of talent and not take them seriously. Do I think they've had it kind of easy this year? Absolutely. But they've dealt with good teams. They've dealt with bad teams. Like that. The Chiefs have done it. The Chiefs have played some bad teams this year and just done enough to beat them. Do we think any less of the Chiefs are doing that? No, they just kind of bored maybe a little bit and they're just like breezing through. It's not their fault that they play the Giants, which were a team which was heavily outmatched. It's not their fault that the 49ers decided to like kill themselves. On the field in the NFC Championship game. It's not their fault. But if you want to take some, I don't know, words of encouragement or from those games is maybe how the 49ers stopped the Eagles consistently in the first half of that game. Like there, I think there was three and outs in a row from the Eagles, and that's when the game was close. And this is just in and around the time that Christian McCaffrey scored that touchdown. So the 49ers were in the game, then they just kind of like threw it away a little bit. They conceded a touchdown just before the half, and then they got the ball back just before halftime, and then they fumbled, and then the Eagles made it a two-score game just before halftime, and that kind of killed that game as a contest. But maybe you can take some encouragement from the fact that they weren't moving the ball very well against the 49ers. And now that I know the 49ers defense is nowhere near as good as the Chiefs. I know the Chiefs defense is nowhere near as good as the 49ers, but they've been playing very well, the Chiefs defense. And maybe there's some bits there that the Chiefs can take some encouragement from. But I wouldn't read too much into those particular games, certainly not the 49ers and the Giants. If you're going to look at any games from the Eagles schedule, you probably want to look at the games against the Cowboys, which were points, points, points. And that's very much how I expect this game to go, by the way. I expect a very high scoring affair. And maybe look at that, Prescott probably be the best quarterback that the Eagles faced this year. Comparable to what? Who was the best quarterback that we've played this year? What, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen? Like the list is endless of all the good quarterbacks that we've played.
Quite a few in there.
Yeah, so we've been battle tested. I don't think the Eagles have been, but that doesn't mean I'm taking them any less serious. I think they're a
lot. Well, if anything, they might be a lot fresher. You never know.
Maybe that's true.
Is there a particular player on the Chiefs that you think might be the key to opening up this number one defense? Is there a particular player that you think I quite fancy him this time? I mean, everyone talks about Kelce and stuff, and it's going to be the Kelce ball, but there must be somebody out there in this Chiefs team that you think is going to be the rising star. We had it with Damian Williams in the Super Bowl 54. Mm-hmm. He had a brilliant time there, didn't he? And he made sure he kind of took the game on its back, sort of thing, and made a statement. Is there a player like that might surprise us?
It depends on what receivers dress, to be honest. So I think they will dress, but it's how active they're going to be. So I want to say someone like Tony, but you don't know. You don't know how healthy he is. You don't know what state he's going to be into play. So I'm going to go with one of the running backs, and I'm going to say Isaiah Pacheco.
All right. Okay.
I'm going to say he's going to have a game. I think. No, I'm changing that. Oh, no, I'm changing that. No, 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 not Isaiah Pacheco. No, 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 no. No, 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 Pacheco.
You're gearing up for Dublin, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say the other running back, Jet McKinnon.
Mate,
yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, I'm going to say the other running back. I've like, obviously, he's going to have a job on his hands anyway, helping out with pass protection, because this Eagles defensive line just gets so many sacks. Yeah. And we have a couple of weak links out and out on tackles. So I think Jack McKinnon's going to have a lot to do with pass protection, but I think he's going to get sprung as well in those type of plays and the check downs in the screen game. I am looking forward to Jack McKinnon having himself a game, because he's been so close to Super Bowls before with so many like good teams, and now he's finally at one. He finally gets to play in a Super Bowl. So yeah, I think he's going to have a good game. If he's going to be any Chiefs player that's not named Patrick, that's not named Travis, that I think are going to have a good game, and I know they're healthy, I'm going to say Jerick McKinnon.
Mate, I've been saying Jerick McKinnon all week. I've been on these other podcasts in the UK, and I've said Jerick McKinnon all the time. I just feel that Jerick McKinnon has something, has that versatility that we kind of need, but also the kind of surprise factor as well, because everybody's going to be doubling up on Kelce. They triple him. They're going to be locking him down because he's clearly the Chiefs' best receiver at the minute. Mm-hmm. The stats have proven that. Hall of Fame talent. So, like you said, McKinnon's going to be that one player who I hope, and I hope I'm kind of right on this, but I really hope that Andy Reid kind of dusts off one of his old playbooks, the Alex Smith era playbooks, right? Now, follow me on this one, right?
Okay.
When Jamal Charles had that 5-touchdown game against the Raiders, right?
No pressure, Jerry. We just want you to have the
just be Jamal Charles
best fantasy game of all time. That's what we want you to repeat. And also, Jerry, can you do it in the Super Bowl? Is that okay? Yeah, can you do that? Is that all right, Jerry? Are you sure? Can you handle this? Do you want to have my all-time performance?
That'd be my question at the Super Bowl open day. Can you just play like Jamal Charles? No, but what I mean by it is, I'm going to clear this up, because what I mean by it is, yes, there's going to be a lot of emphasis on the Eagles are going to be really kind of pressuring Mahomes as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If he can, like you say, spring out and be that kind of check down that Alex Smith used to give to Jamal Charles in that 5-touchdown game. Because if you watch that back, it was a lot of the time it was bringing on the Raiders, Raiders pass rush.
It was screen passes.
It was all screen passes, wasn't it? Yeah. And look how effective it was.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of hoping that we have the ghost of Alex Smith playbook wheeled in, dusted off by Andy Reid, and goes, do you know what, guys? We're about to party and we're going to have gold cheeseburgers for the rest of our days.
Sonny, let's get rid of Travis Kelce. Let's just put Sean McGrath at the beard. come on.
Mate, if that happens, if Jerick McKinnon gets a 5-TD game in the Super Bowl,
if Jerick McKinnon gets 5 TDs in the Super Bowl, he's going to win Super Bowl MVP, and his current odds to win Super Bowl MVP are 50-1. So
book it, it's happening.
Yeah, it's got to be a worth a tenner, isn't it, Brad?
Gambling advice off me.
Yeah, but it's kind of like a redemption story, isn't it, this Super Bowl for the offensive line? But more so Brett Veach, because obviously when we played the last Super Bowl we were in against the Bucks, we all know what happened there with the offensive line and the terrorizing pass rush of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Mahomes running for his life. And obviously that led to the rebuild, that led to almost like a culture change, a shift change in the way that they were going to build the team, protect Pat first, then give him weapon second. And now we're in a Super Bowl where they're facing a similar sort of opposition, a just as scary defensive line. And it kind of, this game and how Patrick Mahomes plays in it and how well he's protected will tell us whether the plan paid off or not. Like, it's the day of reckoning for that plan, for that offseason of 2020 or 2021, rather. It's that offseason there. This weekend is when we find out whether Brett Veach's plan worked or not.
Because they learned from it,
because if they can't protect, Patrick Mahomes against a good defensive line on Sunday, then you might as well just spend all the money on the defense. Let's be honest, you might as well just try and make the defense an all-world defense and make them good. Like, you're talking about handing out contracts in a couple of years to Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey, Orlando Brown wants to get paid. But if they can't do it in the Super Bowl in the biggest game against a four-man pass rush in Haason Reddick, Fletcher Cox, and all the other guys that they have on the Sweat, Brandon Graham, all those other guys that they have on the defensive line for the Eagles. If you can't protect against them in the Super Bowl, then what's the point in paying them? There is no point in paying them. So the Chiefs offensive line are kind of playing for a payday as well this week. If they want their big payday, if Orlando Brown wants to get paid by Kansas City in the offseason, he can't let anyone touch Patrick Mahomes on Sunday.
Literally.
We cannot have a repeat of Super Bowl 55.
Mm.
And if we do, Brett Veach's plan has failed.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, I'm not saying he's not on the hot seat. I don't believe when he's on the hot seat. Well, I think he's done an excellent job. But
that rebuild has failed. Yeah.
That mini rebuild of the offensive line.
Yeah.
And the way we built the team probably failed if it push comes to shove and we lose the game because of the play of the offensive line.
I think that's fair to say. I would say
No pressure, guys.
All line
literally, no pressure, please.
All right, then, should we go with predictions, mate? You're going high score, aren't you? You're going for a shootout.
I am. Do you know what I watched the other day? I watched the Eagles-Patriots, their Super Bowl from 2017.
Yeah.
And the reason why I watched it again, because I haven't rewatched it since the night. And the night it was on, I was so drunk. Like, so drunk. You were there. You were with me. We were so drunk. And I don't remember the game at all. So I thought I'd watch it. And what a game it was. Unbelievable affair. And I think we're going to see something similar. I do. I think both teams are going 30+.
Really?
I think we're going to get a proper shootout.
A shootout, right, is a f***ing shootout. Like a West.
Chiefs are going to win. Going to be Super Bowl champs again.
Yeah.
Got to do it. Chiefs are going to win 37-31. There you go.
There you go. All right. Okay. 37-31.
Yeah. Chiefs are going to score points. Patrick Mahomes is going to win Super Bowl MVP. Patrick Mahomes is going to win MVP on Thursday. There's going to be a pie next week in Kansas City. There's going to be a pie on this podcast next week. Dublin's going to turn red. I'm probably going to end up face down in a river somewhere. I don't care. It is going to be amazing. And
nice knowing you, mate. Really has.
Yeah. I don't care. Like, honestly, it's going to be amazing. And the game is going to give us all a heart attack because it's going to be a close affair. It's going to go down to the wire. But ultimately, I have to go with Patrick Mahomes. I have to go with Andy Reid. I have to go with Travis Kelce, not Jason Kelce on this one. And I have to go with my preseason prediction of the Chiefs beating the Eagles in the Super Bowl. So, you know, if that does happen this week, I'm going to be gloaty and smug as hell next Tuesday. Yeah, so, yeah, all next Wednesday.
The Guinness is on you, mate, as well.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if you saw, there was a leaked, apparently the NFL has leaked it by accident, the actual result of this game. Did you see that?
Is this because Aaron Foster said that the NFL's rigged? Is this why?
It's all scripted, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of said that in tongue in cheek, but it was great seeing all the memes and everybody talking about, previous play. I put one over Franco Harris, God rest his soul. Franco Harris, and I was saying, "Boy, he practiced all week for that. He practiced all preseason for that moment." But yeah, apparently the Chiefs were going to lose this game 34-37. So it's kind of similar to your prediction. But yeah, looking at the first quarter result, and the Chiefs were 10-0 up at that time. Now, if that happens in this game while we're watching it, I'm breaking stuff, because if that's going to be the trajectory that's happening, I'm going to be like, no. If this is scripted, I'm not having it. No, I've actually gone for a bit more of a distant kind of blowout. Let's say I've gone for.
I love the way you were trying to phrase that, or like diplomatically. Yeah. I think the Chiefs will edge the game a bit by a few more points than they expect after. It's a blowout.
It's a blowout. Well, I've gone 34-24, I think. I think I went for mine.
Okay.
So I think, again, it's going to be one of those, it's going to be a bit of a nail biter for a bit. And I just think the Chiefs are just going to show their experience and show that they've been there before.
Yeah. Honestly, I would love it if the Chiefs just blew them out. It's sorry, Philadelphia. Sorry, Philly fans. It's nothing against you. I would love just to be like, honestly, the most like nerve wracking thing to happen from like the halftime onwards would be like, what song's Rihanna going to be singing next? Like, honestly.
Yeah.
But that's what I want it to be like. I'd love it if the Chiefs were up by 3 scores.
What's the first play that Chad Henne's going to do in the first, in the second half?
Imagine bringing in Chad Henne for a Super Bowl.
To start the second half.
Oh my gosh. Has that ever happened in the Super Bowl? I can't remember a backup ever coming in the Super Bowl to see a game out, not through injury.
Yeah.
No, imagine. Chiefs are going to make history this week. Chad Henne is going to be out there on
Thursday. Send out all the second stringers.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to watching it because obviously the last Super Bowl was during COVID times. And I remember being on Zoom watching that one with you guys, like obviously me at home, you were at home.
Horrific. We're
talking like this. And like, it was good fun and stuff, but it's nice to know that a bunch of Chiefs fans and Chiefs fans everywhere in your little communities, wherever you are, you know, we're together having the best time watching this game. And like, we're going to have the best time in Dublin. Like, I can't wait. Like the Guinness factory tour is already booked. Like it's like, what is it? They have white pudding over there as well. Isn't that something that they do in Dublin? I don't know. This isn't becoming a Dublin tourist show, but yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait just to be together with other Chiefs fans watching our team in the Super Bowl for the third time in 4 years. Pinch me. This is the best.
I think a lot of Chiefs fans are going to be, you know, really kind of living this one up as well. And yeah, like you said, it's hopefully righting everything that went wrong last time. And we can celebrate yet another Super Bowl victory.
Yeah.
Would be nice. And the start of a legacy, start of a dynasty.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the start of one. I think it's a continuation of one.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people say you need to win three to be a dynasty, but
I think two and five back to back AFC Championship games, three Super Bowls,
a couple of MVPs. I don't know. I think so, but if they have to add more, then so be it. Never mind.
Yeah. Well, whatever you are all doing. Hope you have a fantastic Super Bowl Sunday. Like I said, we're going to enjoy it as much as we can, as much as we've enjoyed doing this show today, because we've just talked crap yet again, haven't we, mate? But anyway, that's all we've got time for this week. Stick around on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network for more Chiefs content. And when you get a minute, please leave a review and also head over to our website, www.arrowheadpride.com, for more in-depth news and articles on your beloved Chiefs. But all that's left to say here is, from one kingdom to another, we'll speak to you again soon.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.